going to ask John and Elise to come and give us their presentation now, and I'll pray for them as they come. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for John and Elise being with us here today. And we pray now as they speak to us, that you will speak through them to us, that you will fill them with your spirit and give them the words, because we ask it in your name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's really wonderful to be here with you in a place that's been significant for me in my journey of following Jesus. And of course, following Jesus can take you to some unexpected places, places that you might not necessarily wander to by your own choice. And so, we found 4 years ago, we were living in rural Shropshire, and God called us to up sticks and move to the biggest slum in Bangkok. So it's been a huge change for us. And we come back here full of stories of how God is working amongst some of the poorest people in Bangkok, but also stories of how he's changed us, how spending time with these people, finding God's image in them, is transforming us. Mm. So we're just going to show you a few slides to help you picture where we are. So we live in Klong Toi Slum. It's a community of 23 different neighbourhoods. That's approximately 100,000 people living in flats, shop houses, and shanty houses. We find that life in Klong Toi is exciting. It's like a condensed version of life outside the slum. We find that the good things are even better and the bad things are generally worse. So we live in Rong Mu, which means the pig slaughterhouse in Thai, beautiful name. And this is where the pigs were slaughtered in Bangkok for many years. This is a view looking down on our house across the rooftops. And although some aspects of our community, of our daily life, are like stepping back in time, this is a monitor lizard, the size of a crocodile. We're also just a 10-minute bike ride from the boys' school in the centre of Bangkok. We move between very different worlds. This place is sometimes crazy, sometimes sleepy, sometimes full of life, and sometimes dark and oppressive.
And in terms of spiritual life in Thailand is mostly Buddhist. It's more than 98% Buddhist. And the Buddhism that we think of, a peace-loving, calm Buddhism that's about meditation and reaching nirvana, is not the norm of what's practiced by the average person in Thailand. In Thailand, the Buddhism centers around making merit for yourself to cancel out your sins. So you have to do good things to outweigh the balance of the bad things. And it's mixed in with ancient beliefs about spirits, fear of ghosts and evil spirits. So a lot of the day-to-day practice of Buddhism is quite... It's trying to make good luck for yourself and trying to get away from sort of oppression by spirits. That's the normal day-to-day life. Now, that plays into things hugely in society, because if things are going badly for you in your life, so if you're poor or you have a disability, then you must have done something wrong. You must have done something wrong in a previous life or in this life. So just the very fact that people are poor means that there's this idea that spiritually they're not very good either. And it's in that context, it's in that this place that Elise has described, and in that context of spiritual life, that we want to try and bring the hope that comes from Jesus, the hope that says actually we are all created in God's image, that Jesus is alive and powerful and has more authority than any of the spirits, and that change is possible. Because to be trapped in the system, in the slum, means that change is not possible. And we want to come and say, no, change is possible. In Urban Neighbours of Hope, we express this in loads of different ways. So we have projects, and we have day-to-day life, and we have chance opportunities. And we're always trying to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. So we have spiritual practices which ground us as a group of Christians. We meet together regularly through the week and take communion together, and we pray together, and we're seeking, who does God want us to reach out to, and where are we headed? In our neighbourhood, we do lots and lots of different things. We work with children and young people. This guy on the far left is a 16-year-old in our neighbourhood, one of two boys that's finished school in our neighbourhood out of about 20. The other 18 dropped out. And we really tried to encourage him to stay in education and celebrated with him when he graduated from school. We run kids clubs. We take children from the slum, and we take them and teach them swimming, and we have a safe space for them to play. Many of these kids are not looked after by their real parents, so we have a real thing around safety and whether children are neglected or whether they're well cared for, and we try and encourage family strengthening to see that kids are well cared for. And some kids are actually the main carers in their family as well. So these girls here really look after their mum rather than their mum looking after them. We also, in our neighbourhood, our focus is to try and offer welcome and support to the poorest of our neighbours, because the slum is quite mixed. There are people who are doing fine and people who are really not doing fine. And our vision is to see those that are really struggling offered support and hope and welcome. And I'm going to tell you one story, and this is the story of Banoi. So this is Banoi. She is a wonderful woman. When we first moved into our neighbourhood, we felt very strange and very out of place as the only white faces. And this lady, Banoi, offered us huge welcome. So she greeted us with a massive smile, and she wanted to get to know us, and she wanted to spend time with us. And as we got to know her, we heard stories of her life. Now, Banoi was in her late 40s. She was born in the slum, grown up in the slum. By the age of 17, she was an injecting heroin user and went to prison and then spent 25 years, so more than half of her life, in and out of prison. During that time, she had two children, both of which she lost when she went to prison. They got handed over to neighbours and disappeared and never came back. And after 25 years in and out of prison, she finally decided that she would stop using heroin, and she did. She stopped and switched to drinking alcohol. So she she had unfortunately contracted hepatitis B and C from injecting with dirty needles, and then she was drinking. So she had, by the time we knew her, she had some liver failure. Now, Banoi, we feel like she adopted us. She became, Banoi means Auntie Noi. She became the auntie of our family. And we adopted her. And she fed our rabbits and watered our plants. And we began to get into good relationship with her. Now, the rest of our neighbourhood warned us against mixing with her. So they would consider her the lowest of the low. A difficult life, full of what they would say, sin, drug use. You know, you don't want to mix with her. But we did, and we offered her acceptance and welcome. She began to be transformed by that acceptance and welcome. So not really anything to do with us. She met Jesus. And she used to sleep on a sofa outside the front of our doorstep. And she had an experience where she was aware that a ghost or an evil spirit had come to cause her trouble. She felt she was pushed off this, where she was sleeping, onto the floor. And she knew from our chats over time that we followed Jesus, and that we told her that he, if you're in trouble, just call out to him. And she found herself on the floor with this presence and looked up, and the cross on the front of our house had gone sideways. It had gone wonky. And she cried out, "Jesus, help me," and felt immediate peace. And she got up and straightened the cross and went back to sleep. No problem. And she had another, and so she told us this in the morning. She came and put the lotus flower things that they use for blessing on the cross outside our house and said, "Never guess what happened last night." She told us all about it. And we were just blown away. And a few weeks later, she came and she was talking to Elise, and she said she'd had a dream. And she'd met Jesus in the dream. And he was speaking French. Now, she's never heard French. She didn't know French. But Jesus was speaking French. And we're like, "Oh, no. What do we do now?" We said, "Well, do you know what he was saying?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "Yeah." He said, "I am accepted." And we were just, we thought this was just beautiful. That here she was, coming along a journey of getting to know Jesus and his the reality of who he is. And she started coming along to our house church and found our house church a place of welcome. Here she is sat as we sat around and praying one Friday evening. And she was welcomed. Now, the person on the far right of this picture used to know Benoy when she was younger, when she was in the drug scene and was a gangster. And the person on the right was petrified of Benoy. And here they are sat in a room together. They would share communion and pray and support each other, and a beautiful image of including those that others don't include. Now, almost a year ago, Benoy quite suddenly became ill. Her liver failure was getting worse, and she had a lot of fluid in her abdomen, and it got infected, and she went into hospital. And over a week in hospital, she deteriorated very, very quickly. And in her illness, she was confused, and she would wander, and the nurses in the hospital didn't like this, and they couldn't cope with her. And there were no family members to feed her or give her the tablets that the nurses were leaving out for her. And we would go in each day to try and care for Auntie Noi. And on her last day, I went into the hospital and found that the nurses had used hospital pajamas to tie her hands to the bed, and she hadn't been fed, and she hadn't had her medication, and she was distressed and confused. And I went and untied her hands from the hospital bed, and felt suddenly that this was really symbolic of what was going on for her in her life, that she was finding some level of freedom in the acceptance and the love that she'd met, and the fact that Jesus was real and was working in her life. And I fed her, and that turned out to be her last meal. And after I fed her, she said, "Would you pray with me?" And I thought, oh, great, my Thai language is fine, but prayers are tricky. And I was trying to get the right words together, and I was just about to start, but she was off. She was praying and praying, and it was from her heart, and she was praying and praying and praying. We went back in later that evening, and she'd slipped into a coma and was having difficulties breathing, and she died that night. Now, as someone who is what the society would consider the lowest of the low and poor, she would have been entitled to the half-day free funeral at the local temple. And the length of funeral is determined by how rich you are and how where your status is. So we pulled out all the stops and we gave her a 4-day funeral. And we had all the community there, and house church catered one night, and Cooking with Pooh catered one night, and we gathered together the neighborhood, We had hundreds of people came to her funeral. And we wanted to give a message of this woman is worth valuing. Those that the world don't value still hold the image of God. And let's celebrate her life. And so that's the one story that I'm going to share with you today as an example of where our presence in the neighborhood and our desire to see people changed in the love of Jesus came true for us. We miss Auntie Noi, but there are hundreds of other neighbours around us that we want to see similar things happen for.
Yeah, so this is what it's all about for us. It's relationships over time, and it's only by being there physically, living alongside our neighbours that we can know them in this way. I'm just going to skip over a couple of other things that are part of our work. Later on, you're going to hear about the Roy Rack Jewellery Project, and that's something that I put a lot of time into, working with a small group of women to provide stable employment and see them growing in confidence and growing in all areas of their lives. We also, a couple of times a year, we host groups of young people as part of mission exposure programs. So this is to open their eyes to what might be a Christian response to urban poverty. We run training and help for people discerning a future in mission work. Once a year, we run a family camp, and that's where people from all of our different projects get together. We go out of the city, and that's to try and strengthen family relationships. And great things always happen for relationship when we get outside of normal life. Every Friday night, we meet together as a house church. We're a really small group. We're a very different expression of church. Most of the people in our church group can't read, and so we use a children's Bible, and it's the children who read for the adults to listen. But just learning to love each other really well and explore what it means to be following Jesus, but within this cultural context, is something we're really passionate about. And also over the last year, we have moved house. This was about a month ago. Until a month ago, we were living in a house that has been great for our needs the last 3 years. But we were all sleeping in one room, and the house was getting quite cramped. And through the generous support of a church from our hometown of Shrewsbury, we were able to buy this house and renovate it, which is a two-story house. And I really hope that means that we can be there long term. Now, when we decided to buy this house, it's actually the local meth smoking house. And so there's something quite beautiful about restoring that and hoping to see it a place where people are welcomed. We had no idea when we bought it that this was part of God's plan for extending our family. God provided. He called us to meet a girl who lives in a children's home for children with special needs. This is Bo, who lives on the left. Who's on the left? She lives in Chiang Mai, which is in the north of Thailand, a foster home for kids with disabilities. She ended up there having been given up by her young mum, who couldn't take care of her. She went into care at age 2.5, and it's a friend of ours who is a missionary who helps to care for her. Now, when we met Bo, she had just had another adoption process fall through when the family, who were from France, they could have understood the dreams, when they realised the extent of her special needs, the adoption process fell through after about a year. Now, John is a doctor by profession, and it seemed like a great match for our family. Bo has a metabolic condition called fatty acid oxidation disorder, which means that her body can't break down fat. And she was really quite ill as a baby. She had some brain and some liver damage, and she's partially deaf. And her condition is now controlled really well through diet, and she's catching up in her development. And to cut a long story short, it looks like the adoption is going ahead. Our social worker hopes that it will be later this year. So we're really excited to welcome Bo into our family. As Christians and as Christians who are hoping to be seeking to be an incarnational presence in our community, we feel like this is a great expression for those around us, that actually we can pour love into one person just as God pours love into each of our lives.
Thanks. And we're so grateful for the support that this church gives us over the last couple of years, and knowing that you guys care and that you're praying and that you're behind us is really huge for us. Sometimes it gets tough, but knowing that you are interested in these same people that we're interested in is really, really wonderful. So thank you. Thank you for all of the support. So yeah, please do keep praying for us. We need it. In terms of our needs at the moment, we also need financial support as things change for us. So the exchange rate change, that doesn't help. But our ministry opportunities are increasing. Our organisation is quite small. The money that you give to us supports us to be there, to be present for these sorts of things to be happening, but also goes to running our organisation, Urban Names of Hope. So things like the Roy Rack Jewellery Project and the other projects that we run, they're also supported. Our staff are paid out of the money that that comes from you guys. For this next year, with Bo coming as well, I've put out or people were given as they came in, there's some information about our giving needs. So this is, just read it at your leisure. But we have a budget shortfall for next year, and if just pray about if you would be someone who could think about signing up to give regularly. It's really easy. There's an online, you can go to an online form, or there's a paper form that you can free post off. We really long to see the neighbourhoods that we're living in transformed for Jesus. We long to see the light of the world rising over Klong Thuy. And it, for us, it starts small. The next door neighbour, one person here, Bo. These are the few, but we want to see that those few go on and do the same, and that this becomes something where whole communities are transformed. And again, we're just so grateful that you partner with us in it. As we partner together, you are also doing this work. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time this morning.